Okay, here we go. Something. We came to hijack something, your brain. We came to hijack something, your brain.
We say what we like and have a blast.
Something.
You are listening to
something. Okay, here we go.
Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the Something Something Cast.
Something Something Cast.
I am James Hatton with
Podcast Rob.
And, hi, sir.
Hello!
It has been a tumultuous time in our lives. We've been, like, fighting to get in the studio. We've been fighting, and still, yet, here we are, doing... You are a small little speaker on my desk, but it makes the sound quality better when I listen to the Tim Stevens interview.
I've been dieting lately, so.
So how are things? I know your world is busy, my world's been crazy, so what are we revealing to them and what are we keeping a secret?
I mean, you know, mystery is part of the charm, right? So
it's something something going on.
Yeah, we've had some life shit going on. Some of it good, some of it bad. Some of it is going to get taken care of shortly. Some of it is longer term. I don't know if I can get any more vague than that, but I'll try.
There were things with people. There was things with places.
Yeah, we had to put off this episode for a couple weeks, but we're actually fighting to get this done via Skype tonight. We are actually in two different locations. But we won't tell you which two of us are in two different locations. There's three of us in this podcast. Two of us are not in the same room.
That's dun dun dun. Although it's yeah, we'll let them figure it out. You know. I wanted to. Do you want to reveal? We have what we already revealed on the website as to the winner of the contest.
Oh yes, our winner for the Something Something contest is Josh Ungerleader. He already received his shirt. We posted some pictures of it on my Facebook. We're going to transfer him over, get him on the website.
Yes, most definitely. I was waiting for this episode, in fact.
Yep, very happy to get his shirt. Congratulations to him. He did some great stuff. Actually, the episode logo that he came up with is actually going to be used in the next couple of episodes.
Yep, yep.
So we're going to put that up there.
And be on the lookout because we have an entire stack of shirts that we would like to give to you. So we are going to figure out fun ways to do that. Other contests, other ideas we have. We hope you enjoyed the couple rounds of the Something contest. And not to blow our bit, Rob and I have been working on other Something things. There have been other some things that we have cooking for cool stuff to do with you guys.
Yes. Yes, we have been. And we have been very excited about it.
Yes, we have. But this episode was brought to us by a listener and friend of the show who is in studio right now. Because you and I, Rob, we were talking about how this year we wanted to do some more...
So much for not knowing what two people are in the same room with each other.
Oh, shit. But they'll know who it is. but you and I discussed at the beginning of the year that we wanted to start doing some more like contemporary shows. That's why we did the Daredevil episode.
Sure, some more current event stuff.
And our in-studio expert said, we have to talk about this soon or else it will run its course and it will be off-season and no one will want to hear about it for another year. And some people are sick of hearing it already. And... so, we are doing our Game of Thrones episode.
Absolutely.
So, I've read the first couple books, and I'm up to date on the show. Now, you, sir, come from an interesting perspective.
Well, you've read some of the books, but are caught up on the show.
Yes.
Madison, am I correct in saying that you have read all the books up to what he has written so far?
And more. No, yeah, all of them.
She's also read all the ancillary material. Like, there's a couple other, like, there's a world atlas or something like that,
yeah, there's
right?
a world history, there's Tales of Duck and Egg, there's all sorts of pre-chapters for the next book that haven't been published yet, but he's put up on his site, lots of stuff.
magical creatures and where to find them.
The fantastical beasts.
Their history of Quidditch, the whole thing.
Have a happy rainbow life in the distance with honey badgers and cake. I don't know.
Yeah.
So these are the three different points of this. You've seen all the TV shows. She's read all the books. I have absolutely seen nothing or read nothing.
Other than whatever the internet has provided you through pictures of Sansa Stark and really.
Sure.
And
she's hot.
Not as hot as,
Please say someone younger so I can make fun of you later.
Oh, Marjorie.
Ah, yes.
Oh, Marjorie.
Oh, she's beautiful.
So the issue that we had in considering this episode, because we both agreed that it was something that should be done, is we did a Lost episode that was very long. We did a Fast and the Furious episode, which was very long because it was such dense material, so much material.
In the halcyon days of season one.
Yeah, and this show is even crazier as far as dense material. So there was no way that we could cover absolutely everything going on.
Yeah, there's no possible way. Like, for example, by the way, and we didn't do a full introduction, our in-house guest, of course, is the lovely and beautiful talented Madison Bartholomew.
Hey, guys.
Woohoo!
We're watching the show together, and Mads will be sitting there, and she'll go, oh my god, I can't believe they did that, and I would say, what? And then for the next 20 minutes, the show's on pause while she's explaining to me all of, like, the deep mythological ramifications that are related to all of the stuff going on that is in no way, shape, or form in the show. It's kind of insinuated, and then it's sometimes not even in the books, it's in, like, the ancillary crap.
Or it hasn't been published.
Yeah, or it's stuff that's, like, speculative and...
Might happen in the books, might not. God knows.
So please, continue. I just wanted to, like...
It's like the whole Lost experience stuff. And I'm not doing that just to dig at you, but it really
is.
No, of
course.
There was so much more outside of the actual story that was a story in and of itself.
So we had a long back and forth about how do we do this, since there's so much, and we could really just prattle on about any number of concepts with Game of Thrones.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. From the amount of times that she's babbled for, like, 20 minutes just about the religions, I go, yeah, no, we have to trim the fat, or else Fast and the Furious is, it makes Fast and the Furious look like a fucking Looney Tune with the amount of depth that goes into this. Per movie or book or show or whatever.
Right. So what we kind of honed in on is everybody's driving force, regardless of whether you've read the books, whether you've watched the show, is how is it going to end? Everybody's trying to figure out and trying to wrap their brain around who's going to sit on the Iron Throne, who's going to, you know, be the one to mount that giant seat of swords and rule the whole thing. So that was kind of what we figured it would be interesting to get the takes of three different types of people. One who's read all the books up till now, one who's seen all the TV shows, and one who is only going on, you know, articles such as the seven wildest Game of Thrones theories that fans have come up with.
Oh, God.
And just kind of mine the internet for information and see who ends up coming the closest. And the beautiful thing about it is, if our listeners aren't caught up on the show yet, you know what? We can't really claim that anything we're talking about is spoilers because we won't know until the show's over anyway.
That's fair. I mean, I generally would assume that people would go, oh, I really don't like Game of Thrones, and they're not listening to this unless they like us enough, which, strange as it may be, happens.
oh, sure.
But,
Well, no, I mean, this could spoil something because all theories have lead up and supporting details.
I generally would assume that people listening to this go, oh, it's going to be a spoilerific fucking episode today. Like we told the Daredevil folks, like, you're listening to the Daredevil episode. We're going to talk about Daredevil.
Right. So if you're not caught up on the show, take into account that we may talk about something that you yet haven't seen.
Or the
Hell,
books.
I don't even watch the show, and I spoiled something for somebody like two seasons ago without even knowing it.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Well, there was the whole thing about the Red Wedding that happened and blah, blah, Red Wedding this, Red Wedding that. Everybody lost their fucking panties over the Red Wedding.
Wow.
They did.
So then, like, the next season, you know, we're hanging out at work and somebody goes, oh my god, you're never going to believe what happened on Game of Thrones tonight. And I go, well, you already had the Red Wedding. What the fuck is this? Like, the Purple Wedding or something? The Green Wedding? The Blue Wedding? And the guy just turned and looked at me and, like, you're a fucking dick. I go, what are you talking about? I don't even watch the show. What? And he pulls me aside. He's like, it was the purple wedding last night. I'm like, how the fuck am I supposed to know that? I just picked the color out of the rainbow, dude. So, what do you want?
It's kind of that, like, the linchpin middle spot in the series where it's...
You're either out or you're in.
Yeah. I would say, Rob, have you watched YouTube clips of any of the kind of crazy moments of Game of Thrones or any of that?
It's funny because I was at a friend's house a couple weeks ago, and they had to step out to the store, so I was just chilling out at the house, and they have HBO on demand, and I said, you know what, I know we're going to be recording this episode in the next couple weeks, let me watch an episode. So I was going to start watching the first episode. I'm like, well, that's silly. Let me watch something that had some sort of big major impact to it. So I put on the episode that had the Red Wedding in it.
That's a shocking episode to start with.
Well, I mean, I already kind of knew what happened, so because I don't care about spoilers, so I
fair enough.
I knew what was going on, but I got to tell you, what's a show, an hour long?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about right.
The first 40 minutes of the show, of that episode, I could have given a fuck less about. Like, and I have friends telling me, oh, well, it's because you didn't see it from the beginning, so you had nothing invested in it. And I'm like, I don't really think that's it. Like, I sat there, elbows on knees, hands, you know, chin in hands, trying to pay attention to this show. And I'm just like, there's not a fucking person on here that I, like, actually give a shit to know about their backstory on. And then we get to the Red Wedding, and it's like, oh, wedding, death for everyone. I was like, oh, well, that's exciting.
Now I'm trying to remember whether that episode specifically, whether they do a really good job of kind of,
whether they plot this
episode really slowly because they know.
You find out, like, Talisa's pregnant and, like, that whole story, and you see it start to unravel.
Well, I think, isn't that the episode where one of the wolves, like, they kill one of the wolves, too, and one of the kids is hiding and sees it happen and gets all...
Yeah.
Like, in the not the stable, but, like, in the...
Like, hiding right outside
the pen that it's in, and it's, like, scratching at the door, growling, and then you hear the crossbow chunking. So, I mean, there's that, and obviously that meant something to people who watch the show.
Right. I think, you know what, it might be, to some degree, I think your friend might... Your friends who are watching it with you might be right, if only because it's similar to, like, The Sopranos or another show of that nature where... For those who were in the know at the time are like, we know it's coming. So you can sit back, and honestly, they could have just showed, like, the kings twiddling their fucking thumbs for 20 minutes, because you knew at minute 25, we're going to the wedding, and shit's gonna get hectic.
Well, no, I mean, you also have Arya almost finding her family since the first time, since season one.
Right, no, you're right. There's moments there, but that's
it's all lead up.
That's
though.
All perspective
it's not,
from seeing the prior 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's like with Sopranos, where it was like, okay, who's gonna die this season?
Unfortunately, I didn't see that.
That's fair,
all,
but
so.
it's similar in that, like, the episodes where people died. I'm trying to remember whether it was like, cool, I know we're in the last episode or the second to last episode, so who are they gonna kill? They've built it up that it could be any of these five people, but the rest of the episode is just, you know, Tony's mom sitting there bitching.
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, I almost get the feeling that they knew what the episode was going to end on, so we're not going to take the impact of that away. So a lot of it's going to be, you know, people playing backgammon for, you know, the first 45 minutes of the episode. Because
we can set up political intrigue here.
Because if we do anything big and, you know, Joss Whedon-like in the beginning, then it's going to take away from the impact of the end. So we really need to kind of palate cleanse for 45 minutes. So when everybody in the known world gets stabbed, it's a big impact.
Yeah, I always find that episode to be very Dusk Till Dawn, because it's... So there's a I remember that episode specifically, and this is apparently turning into the Red Wedding episode. we'll get to the theories in a bit, but I remember I was listening to a book on tape when I was working at a haunt a couple years ago. So I'm in the car and I'm listening to the episode. I'm listening to the book, and there's a spot in the story where. It's real just, okay, they're at the wedding, and it's tense, and you understand why it's tense from the political blah, blah, blah. And the line is very, like, and then the band stopped playing and brought out crossbows. And you go, habba, 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 what? I literally rewound my, you know, or my iPod or my CD player or whatever it was. I was like, okay, no, that really happened. Holy shit. And now I'm listening and just people, there's blood spurting through the CD player.
Yep. I had to put down the book for 2 weeks after the Red Wedding scene.
Sorry, yeah, it was kind of intense, and it was kind of Dusk Till Dawn final battle-ish in the fact that it got to such a hectic point where every scene cut or every angle cut was cut to somebody else literally a second and a half before they got shivved with something. So it wasn't like, you know, choreographed fight, bar fight, da-da-da-da, ha-ha-ha, dead. No, it was dead. Oh, my God, dead. Oh, my God, dead, dead. Oh, God, dead. Oh, slight. Oh, dead, dead. Oh, my God, dead. It was ridiculous. I'm like, oh, my God, this is fucking great.
It's like a game of, what was it, Unreal Tournament that had a super kill.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like, I mean, I don't know. I'd love to say I want to sit down and read the books at some point,
they're,
you know, maybe
so
when
dense.
They're all done.
George, yeah. I will say this.
20 years from now when they're all written?
Yeah, he'll be long dead before then. I'll say this. There's book series that I won't pick up just because of the albatross that they are, and we've discussed, like, Robert Jordan.
Sure.
Those are, you know, 1,200-page books per book, minimum 800 pages per book. And they go, now they're over, now they're done, and there's, I think, 13 of them. But George Martin's a dense son of a bitch, and he doesn't hold your hand. So dead serious, you'll meet a guard in book one, and in book four you find out that guard is the one that told the secret that he was present for at the time in book one, and you go, who the fuck is he? Because you don't remember what we're talking, literally four books, which is the equivalent of like 2,400 pages later.
Sure, no, absolutely.
And so I find him a little hard to digest. So that's
like, if you ever go into his house, his entire house looks like Claire Danes' living room from Homeland, where she's trying to figure out who the terrorist is, and there's just different colored pieces of yarn going from one picture on one wall in the dining room to a picture on a wall in the kitchen, and little post-it notes taped to it, so even Martin can kind of keep track of who all these fucking people are and who they have all their contacts with.
And he sits that way, and he sits there with his, like, gay biker hat on from, like, the Blue Oyster Bar and Police Academy. There's a quick minor tangent, and then I guess we'll get to our content. There was a show, it was a Canadian documentary show called, like, Kinky Lives or something. It's a sex show where they're following people who live in different various stages of kink. Like, they have a professional dom, they have somebody who just meets dudes off the internet. And it's all these aspects of kink. And they had a bear dom who only had boyfriends, and he was a very loving, caring sort of guy, but he looks exactly like George Martin, and he has the same leather chain sailor hat. And so now I only see that when I see George Martin. I'm like, ah.
Nice.
And it's creepy because I've seen that guy in weird situations on this Canadian documentary series, and now I can only think of George Martin as a gay bear dom.
Nice. He's the skipper from the BDSM Minnow.
Skipper!
Exactly.
Safe word.
Little buddy. No!
You're going to make something out of coconuts.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've taken our predictions, our theories about how the show is going to roll from our various theories, discuss them a little bit each. Who do you think we should start with? Should we, like, spin the wheel of death on this?
I vote Rob goes first.
You think Rob should go first?
Yeah.
Why is that? Because you're going to take up the whole end spot and just, like, and we should... Boo.
Well, no, it's just I want to hear his untempered opinion.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
I'd say it's as good a way to go as any.
Yeah, either way, it's fine.
I am so smart.
from everything that I was able to read, a couple points leading up to my answer... It seems that, for all intents and purposes, Martin doesn't like to write things that go according to plan. Mm. So if you're reading stuff or you're watching stuff and everything is leading up to, oh, I see where this is going, it's not going to end up where you think it's supposed to go, because he doesn't seem to like to do that. His other recurring theme apparently seems to be that inherited rule is kind of shitty. Not that he brings it across in his story, but he basically shows it to the reader that everybody who's had their rule inherited from their previous, you know, father, relative, whatever, still seems to end up being a dick. So this isn't necessarily a good way to go.
That whole power corrupts thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I don't quite, I don't want to say I don't quite get, but as far as storytelling goes, he mentions there's a whole backstory about the Targs being overthrown, and there's still a few of them, you know, hanging around vying for the throne.
Yep, yep.
Why would you bring up, I mean, other than to, like, compete with the Silmarillion, why would you bring up this whole incredible backstory and then mention that you still have some of them around vying for the throne to not have it pay off in some way down the end? If it's going to pay off, it has to pay off big. Otherwise, there's no need to bring up the fact that there was this whole other family that basically had the rule yoinked out from under them and is now with a different ruling family.
Right.
The other thing that I found was interesting is that apparently the Iron Bank is owed a fuck ton of money and has a very influential power base because of it. I mean, historically speaking, that could be speaking on the end of feudalism and getting more into capitalism, where the big power families are now gone and all the power resides in the banks and the corporations.
Hmm. Wouldn't it just suck if you find out that the whole Game of Thrones is nothing but like a Ponzi scheme for real estate?
Sure, there you go.
Which diehard was that? Anyway, go ahead.
Overall, as far as the characters go and reading the backgrounds on them, I do think that Snow is going to end up ruling, but I think it's going to be over a fractured or dead realm. Either going to be, I can either see it being split up into smaller kingdoms that aren't overruled by one big person, or the war is going to ravage the land in such a point that it's going to be, hey, look, I've won, and I'm king of, you know, a million corpses and, you know, 500,000 burned castles. Yay.
Yeah, the Trent Reznor hurt version, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't see it ending. I don't see this ending well. I don't see George R. R. Martin writing like a big epic high fantasy ending like Lord of the Rings, where eventually all the good guys win and then take 45 minutes to say goodbye to everybody. I just don't think it ends good. I almost see it ending more like Breaking Bad, where it's going to end. Some people will be okay with how it ends, but nobody's really going to be happy about how it ends.
I would agree. I do have the standing theory, and she and I have discussed this too, that doesn't matter how it ends. You could have it be fucking animated raccoons come in and, like, singing bunnies, sitting with the prettiest princess on the throne, and there's going to be somebody in the internet going, no, that was stupid.
Right.
It could be the best ending ever, and somebody is going to go, no, it didn't go like I wanted.
Jamie, that's how the internet works.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, nobody, I mean, even internet and readers and viewers, nobody's going to be happy, but I meant more the characters in the story.
Okay.
It's not going to end well for anybody, I don't think. Even the winners are going to come out like, fuck, this is what we fought for? Great.
So that brings up a really good question, and Mads can answer this. How long ago, historically, from where we are in the story, was the land all separated out into a bunch of other kingdoms? Because I don't remember how long ago it was, historically speaking.
About 300 years. So
300 years.
Aegon the Conqueror came down and basically... Okay, well, all right. So they were already in seven kingdoms.
Truncated.
Okay, I know. They were already in seven kingdoms, but when they were all united is under Aegon the Conqueror about 300 years ago.
So you're thinking the cycle goes all back around, except now the place is just post-apocalyptic, Fury Road, Fallout 4. These are all topical references.
Yeah, no, I actually do. I think it either goes back to like pre-Seven Kingdoms, where everybody just had their own little parcel of land and everybody had their own little rule before they were all united, or if it's going to stay united, then it's basically scorched earth. You know, you're gonna be ruling over the boring parts of Nevada.
We're in Delaware.
Did you get to read anything about the supernatural elements?
As far as
White Walkers, dragons, Azor Ahai, anything?
Well, I mean, yeah, there's the whole, you know, the dragons have three heads and everybody's wondering about the Azor Ahai. The popular theory seems to be that that's Jon Snow. Even though apparently he may or may not have been killed that doesn't seem to necessarily mean that it's going to stick, apparently.
Yeah,
that was one of those things where, since she's read far ahead, she goes, no, I don't want to spoil it for you. I'm like, fucking spoil it. I stopped reading them. Jon Snow might be dead. Oh, he's not dead. You didn't see the body.
Yeah, no, exactly. If it's not wrestling, if it's not on camera, it didn't happen. So,
well, no, you do witness him falling into unconsciousness.
Right, but that's still unconsciousness. Hey, look, House of Cards. You saw Doug Stamper lying in a forest, dead for a day and a half.
Fair enough.
And he's not dead. So,
oh, we finally finished that, by the way. So, next time we hang out, we should discuss this.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we're gonna do a House of Cards episode eventually. That's almost guaranteed because we both love that show.
But yeah, I mean, when he gets beamed in the grape with a rock and he hits the ground, I'm going, please don't be dead, please don't be dead. And then the sun rises the next morning and he's still lying there, like, fly crawling across his eyeball. And I'm like, fuck, they killed Doug. And then the next season starts and you see him sitting in the waiting room with, like, a wooden spoon duct taped to his broken wrist. And even I went, now, come on. I mean, I love this show, but come on.
Yeah, they did end it with you just going, oh, all right, so somebody's going to find his caved-in skull and figure this out from there.
Exactly. So if House of Cards can pull that off, I'm sure somebody can bring Jon Snow back from the maybe dead.
Especially because the books, not the show, but the books have have Ra's al Ghul's fucking Lazarus pits.
Nice!
Like, not specifically.
Wait, where?
No, sure.
Well, there's the one guy who raises the dead.
Oh, the prophets of the Red God.
Yeah, and in the books, one of the major characters that have died has come back from the dead as, like, zombie mom.
You can just say names. This is
a
spoiler episode.
That's true. Yeah, Catelyn Stark died in the Red Wedding. At the end of one of the books, and this is one of those things that fucking made me hate the books themselves, there's a chapter at the end of that book where there's a bunch of, like, hillbilly deliverance son of a bitches.
So it's the Brotherhood, and they've been bringing themselves and other people back when the Red God gives them the power to.
Right. So they don't they find her body in the river, like it's just rolling down the river?
Yeah, they fish it out.
Yeah, they fish out a body, and then they don't tell you who it is, they don't explain what it is, they just say they raise this woman, and through context clues, through literally like two sentences of text, you're supposed to extrapolate that it's Catelyn Stark.
No, later on they do reveal it more concretely.
Later, but...
Yeah.
But, they do exist. They did mention that they can raise the dead in the show very briefly, but they mentioned a lot of stuff that's just been kind of dropped.
Like Gendry.
Gendry was going to be my exact example. They do this whole subplot. This whole subplot about the right ruler of the throne, since Joffrey and that line are all, as far as we know, what we definitely know is they're incestuous children born out of wedlock. And so they do introduce, they spend a long time in the books trying
to... The entire first season is all about people getting killed for finding out that, you know, these are bastards and he has legitimate children and they're running around all over the place.
And so they put Gendry on a boat in the show.
They salute and they say goodbye.
And Gendry, occasionally the actor on his Twitter, brilliant. The actor occasionally goes, still rowing, haven't heard from HBO.
Nice.
So it's kind of a long form joke that the show sometimes drops plots or at least hasn't come back to pick them up again. So Mads, do you want to go with yours?
No, let's go with
yours.
Oh,
I see. I see how this is going to go. We're going up the rank of knowledge. The best. The one.
The longest.
Fair. So I went a different way. My theory on this, and one of my biggest beefs with the narrative, has always been the show doesn't have a hero. It doesn't have a main focal character, with the exception of one or two characters. Everybody's a dickhead, or some range of dickhead, or some range of flawed. The only characters that seem to be evolving as people are the Starks. They were there at the first 5 minutes of the books. They were there the first 5 minutes of the episodes. They're the ones you meet first. They all get fucking wolf puppies, and off they go into the world, and they're separated, and their pops dies. And so they're the only ones in the show that are showing some sort of, I don't know, evolution.
Okay.
So you have John, who started up as Bastard, now he goes off and he's running the Wall. You have Sansa, who is slowly but surely learning all the political intrigue. You have Arya, who is slowly but surely becoming the Thief. Like, they're turning into all of the D&D trope characters. Then you have Bran and Rickon, who are slowly but surely becoming all of the kind of the mystical characters.
Rickon is? Really?
Well, Bran is, and Rickon is, last we saw,
on Skagos. Yeah.
strapped to a guy's back and running around somewhere.
He's on Skagos.
Sure. But so, I generally believe that those are the characters that, honestly, should be there at the end. The ones that are showing growth. It's that theory that Luke isn't the main character of Star Wars. It's Han, because he's the one that evolves the most. So, my theory is that at the end, we need the Starks running Westeros.
Interesting.
It could go any which way. You could have Jon in the south, Sansa in the north.
Jon in the south.
I'm sorry, Jon on the Wall.
There we go.
Yeah, the north. I think south cold.
Up and down, left, right.
Exactly. but you have Arya as the queen's, as the throne's assassin, head of the guard, or something akin. Like, she becomes the Littlefinger, effectively.
Or is she ill in pain?
Well, we are all ill in pain, in the same as we are, you know, all Fight Club. What's his name?
Robert Paulson.
Yes, we're all Robert Paulson. But yeah, Arya's the assassin, so she's gonna become the cutthroat. You get Bran, who is the
magician.
Yeah, the magician, the mage. He could easily become like headmaster.
Okay.
And then you have Sansa as the political force, with Jon as the defensive force. Like, each one of them fills an archetype of need that they focus on in the books. Where Daenerys fits in, don't know. I honestly have no fucking clue where Daenerys fits into that. But it seems to me that out of all of the characters that have been moving, Joffrey was a dick, and then he wasn't. True. Ned was a good dude, and then he wasn't. Margaery is a good person with political motivations, as far as we know. Like, all of these characters, they've remained almost stock the same.
Okay.
Sansa, we've seen go through crazy shit.
And puberty.
And she's gotten smarter and become a character.
Mm-hmm.
Arya has gone through crazy shit, and she's come out the other end learning and becoming a thing. She's evolving. John's was the first where he went to the Wall, and he's become the leader of the Wall. I don't think any of the other characters matter. They're NPCs, as far as I'm concerned,
mm-hmm.
because they remain stock
still.
You
don't think Daenerys has grown?
Daenerys is the only one that I kind of have to go, I don't know how she fits in this.
Okay.
Unless, just if only because you're right, she has also been a growth character. But everybody else is the same character they were at the start. Every one of them.
Hmm.
Anyone? Takers? Throwers? Tomatoes? Is Rob still here?
No, I'm here.
Oh, good. Ah. I just want to make sure Skype still works.
No, it's, I mean, I can't speak on the theory as to whether you're correct or not, again, having not seen or read anything, but just from a storytelling standpoint, it makes sense. I mean, even when you watch a lot of, you know, forgive me for the illusion, but reality TV, the winners are always the one that they show you an actual arc on in their little interviews and behind-the-scenes stuff and the shit they do on the show. It's rarely ever the people that go in as assholes and come out as assholes are the mm-hmm. people who, you know, get anything at the end. So unless there's an actual growth arc or change arc of a character, it's hard to see that, you know, they're around in any sort of prominence come the end of the story.
Yeah, it's very similar to the way we figure out Hell's Kitchen winners. Like, who's the guy at the beginning they're not talking about, and they slowly talk about more and more and more and more? It's never the
right.
guy they show first.
Right.
It's never Laffy McGee or the dumb one or...
But it's also never the one where an episode starts and suddenly we're focusing on one person.
Oh, they're gone today. So yeah, my theory is heroes take over the hall. It's D&D 101, and until they prove me wrong, which they will, because this show.
How strange.
So which leaves us to the grand mistress of Westeros over here. George R.R. Madison.
Ah, nice. So I find it really interesting that we all kind of choose Jon Snow.
That's fair.
So
I think he's just the best dude out of everybody that's left. You might have
disagree.
Guessed. I might have said it was his brother until the Red Wedding.
Oh, Rob, yeah. So I really, really like one particular fan theory that Rob actually alluded to before, and that is the dragon with the three heads. So I'll just take 2 seconds and explain that a little bit more.
This is the one at the end of the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. Never mind.
I don't.
Yeah, what? I know you don't get that.
Oh boy. Oh, okay.
What was the name of the villain in the D&D cartoon, Rob?
Venger.
Venger. Thank you. I kept thinking Cringer, and I knew that was the He-Man line.
He had the one big horn coming off. He had like a side ponytail. It was really weird.
Exactly. Ew. It looked like like half a Danzig skull.
And this is why we didn't watch that.
Oh, it's wonderful. Anyway, please continue.
Okay, so the basics of the theory of the three-headed dragon start long before the book actually begins, and the concept is the Mad King had a lot of kids, and the Mad King could pretty much do whatever he wanted. The Mad King is Daenerys Targaryen's father, Aemon. So, crazy guy running all over the place. Pretty much. Basically, what ends up happening is he has a bunch of legitimate children, like Rhaegar, and he has a bunch of bastards. So, for some reason, a while before the books start, you basically have the head of the Lannisters and the head of Targaryens hanging out and being really good friends. And then all of a sudden, Lannister guy gets married, shit goes south, and the basics of the theory are that King Targaryen looked at his friend and went, "Dude, your wife's hot." At which point, the Lannister guy said, "Fuck you, asshole! I'm gonna try to get out of here as much as I possibly can."
As you do.
So, the wife gets sent back to their home of Casterly Rock, and everything's fine until the king invites them all to court, and suddenly, out of nowhere, 9 months-ish later, and you can actually check this in the History of Westeros book,
And we will.
Yeah.
Cite your sources.
Mrs. Casterly Rock dies in childbirth, bringing a deformed monster, i.e. Tyrion, into the world. So, one of the theories is that Tyrion's father is actually King Targaryen. So.
Okay. So far we have a... So now, if I'm correct...
Yes.
What you're saying is that Tyrion is the one character that we got that is a half between Targaryen and Lannister.
Yes.
Haha. So he right now technically
could be.
He technically could be the only person with a claim to the throne.
No.
On Westeros.
No.
Oh, well, fine.
Haha. So
see, and this is why
three-headed dragon. There's three people. So then you have Daenerys.
Oh, so Tyrion's one of them.
Tyrion is one of them.
Okay, go ahead.
Daenerys is King Targaryen's daughter.
Legitimate daughter.
And she's still alive.
And hot as hell.
Unlike, you know, the other ones, which, if you want, we can talk about later.
By the way, Emilia Clarke, totally great in Sucker Punch, Rob.
Better with dark hair, I think. Better with dark hair. I don't know if I would. Anyway, so. Second head of the dragon would be Daenerys, who is the mother of dragons and hatched them on a weirdo funeral pyre. And there's a lot of theories about what actually is inhabiting the dragons of souls right now, because there's some fun theories on that. Go look it up. So.
Wait, people are suggesting that there are soul... never mind.
So there are three dragons, and three deaths had to go into waking the three dragons, being Khal Drogo, their son, and the witch Myrmira's door. So if those souls were transplanted and that allowed the eggs to be hatched, that would explain why one dragon never gets along with anyone else, and two of them are kind of close. So.
Okay. And for you Mercedes Lackeys fans, that's how we got Vanyl.
I don't actually think that's true, by the way. So please don't, go nuts on that. But
somebody understood my Mercedes Lackey reference.
No one did. Tyrion, Daenerys, and the third head of the dragon would be Jon Snow. There's a lot of prophecies about this, and there's a thing called R plus L equals J, and that's a very cool theory that if you pump that in, it'll come up in Google. And it's basically this. King Targaryen had a son and heir, Rhaegon. That guy was married to one of the Dornish muckety-muck peoples, and they had a bunch of kids. Those were all killed in the sack. And then he got smitten with a woman named Lyanna Stark. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, you've heard that name before. So, basically, Rhaegar goes, I want her. And she goes, I actually want him. And they were married in secret. And that is the only explanation for this, which is during the war, which Robert, who was betrothed to Lyanna, started. Lyanna's
Ned's sister, correct?
Yes.
Haha.
Lyanna is, for some reason, way south, kind of close to Dorne, being guarded by the king's men, where the theory is she gives birth to Rhaegar Targaryen's son, so next in line to the throne after Rhaegar. And, yeah, some shit goes down. Ned Stark shows up with a bunch of people. They go in. He goes, what the fuck, sis? That guy's married. And she goes, I know, and I'm about to die. Ned, take this baby and pretend like you actually had enough balls to fuck someone other than your wife and raise it as your own bastard and never tell anyone. And Ned goes, oh god, you're dying. I guess I have to promise this. So that is why Ned returns home, oh honorable Ed, with a bastard, which seems utterly out of character, in Jon Snow.
Damn it, Sean Bean.
So you have Jon Snow being of both Stark blood and Targaryen blood, and there's a lot more evidence for this than even that. So, Three Heads of the Dragon, Tyrion, Jon, Daenerys, all get together, all ride on dragons, triumphantly back to Westeros, and do something. I'm not really sure what that is, because there's too many supernatural things going on.
They kill Lord Soth and Kitty Yara.
I don't think that exists.
Rob got it.
But
I don't know, because he's not done writing the books yet.
Fair enough. But absolute endgame, I actually think we're going to see the three of them ruling the entire world together. Daenerys on Essos, Tyrion on the Iron Throne, and Jon Snow guarding the wall still.
You know, in all of our theories, Jon Snow still ends up having to stay on the wall.
No one likes him. He has to stay away.
So here's let me ask that question, because yours is actually the only one that answers the why is it called A Song of Fire and Ice?
Yes.
Because Jon Snow would be ice and Daenerys would be fire.
That's actually not really.
Well, but.
Well, I mean, it can mean a lot of different things.
Right. So, in that, what's Tyrion? I guess he'd be song.
I seriously doubt that.
Oh. So he's mist? I don't know what's.
Each character has an aspect of ice and fire in them.
Yeah, no, I know. It was
so,
just a.
There you go. It could be love-hate, it could be north-south, it could be ice dragons versus real dragons. We don't really know yet.
All right. So, now Rob, coming from the layman's perspective, how's that all sound? Because that was a lot.
I mean, a lot of it is
like brain
some
dump.
Of the stuff that I read, and even I would agree with the fact that it could come down to the three of them. It's kind of how I see the separated rule thing going. The thing about Tyrion is, if his theory is correct,
yeah,
then I think that actually puts him closer to the throne than Daenerys, as far as legitimate claim goes. He's got a direct legitimate claim. So does she. In precedent over her.
No, so does she. They don't recognize men over women in the Targaryen line, generally speaking.
But in the Lannister line, they do.
But that doesn't matter. That's not the kingly line.
Well, I guess that's
well,
true.
Well, and also, you have Daenerys being born of two Targaryens? No, I'm wrong on that. They stopped doing all that incest stuff. But anyway, she is 100%. Everyone knows who she is. Tyrion would be a hard fight. Because, I mean, there's still, you know, everyone believes he's the son of Joanna and Papa Casterly Rock. So it's, they'd have to prove that, and it would be a whole thing, battle.
All right, we get it, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But there is actually someone alive right now who can prove that Jon Snow is the son of Rhaegar and Lyanna. So that is provable.
Is it a character who we know well?
No, it's actually Jogen Amira Reed's father, who has not come out of the bog.
See,
but he was there.
See, now, Rob, remember what I was saying earlier, that, like, these books are dense?
Right.
That's a character who you learned about in history class, and, like, when they say, oh, it was the son of blah, 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 and Herb-a-Burr, and this guy was the standard bearer for Herb-a-Derp, and this guy, you go, I have no idea. Madison has the mind of a steel trap when it comes to remembering all this stuff. It really is astounding.
I love you.
Right.
So, yeah, those are the three theories. I don't even know where to go from here. Any thoughts?
I couldn't even tell you.
And this is, I think when we were plotting out this episode, we kind of came to this on our note-taking and our discussions about it. It was, so we listed off the three theories. Okay. I will say that my big problem that I've had in watching the show is there's a lot of this supernatural elements. So you got dragons coming in, you got these giant ice troll whites.
These zombie things.
Zombie things.
Karth. And, ugh.
Yeah,
Karth.
Like, the biggest problem I have is it's so selective. Like, at the very beginning of the first episode, you see fucking zombies and big old ice giants and yep. these frost golems walking. And you go, oh, shit. That's coming. That must be winter. Winter's coming. These things are winter. Winter's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But then they don't appear again for, like, the one or two appear socially, like at tea parties.
So, actually, I have a theory that I made up on my own.
Oh, no.
So, you'll know, if you choose to read the books, you'll notice that it's always stated that magic kind of comes from the east.
Sure.
So, there's the Dead Sea and mountains, and weird things happen in the mountains. On the other side of the mountains of Essos, there's this place called Ashai, and that is where all the Red Priests come from, and the legend of Azor Ahai, and all that. But east of that is completely unknown, except for the fact that the Ashai are necromancers, and there's other things out there like Ling and all these other places that have mystical magical properties.
Which is directly an HR, a Lovecraft reference.
Actually, no, it's a Robert W. Chambers reference.
Oh,
but
sorry, it's
yes,
a Lovecraftian reference.
Yes,
I would
yes.
say that. Sorry.
I love old books, if you can't tell. So, I think the North and that Ashai, Lang, total east of the world place are actually connected by a land bridge, and that the whites are a product of Ashai necromancy gone horribly wrong, and that is why all the legends of the hero, Azor Ahai, and the Red Priest come from that place, because since they know how magically this started, they're the only ones who can end it.
So, by your theory, are you expecting at some point in time the White Walkers to get to capital city, what's the name of the damn capital town? The main place, the home base?
Which one?
Where the throne is.
Oh, the Iron Throne?
Yes, yes, the city that's in.
King's Landing.
Thank you. Are you ever going to see the zombies get to King's Landing?
I don't think so.
Ugh, lame. I want to see Walking Dead in King's Landing. I want to see these motherfuckers tromping through the cities.
Actually, I'd like to see them in Dorne, where they're like, oh, it's so dry.
Yeah. But that means they have to get that's much further away.
I like it. Well, whatever. Okay, yes. So that's my actual original theory that is based off of nothing except from my own weirdo brain.
So with that said, you gonna are you thinking you might read the books or watch the show, Rob?
I mean, I'd like to say yes.
The show is totally worth it. Tits, boobs, everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I make no guarantees. I make no promises either way. I'd love to say, sure, I'll sit down and watch the show. I mean, shit, I powered through longer seasons on Netflix in like 3 weeks, you know, just marathon burning mm-hmm. through them. So, I mean, once they're all done and they all come out in a box set with everything, you know, who knows what the future holds.
Yeah, I would say that the show's worth it for certain. It's a pretty show. At the very least, they spend a lot of money on sets and a lot of money on the little details, like
the clothing's amazing.
Yeah, there's the showrunners that put together the costumes. Like, they make sure that this person's having a dark day or they're thinking evil thoughts, so they're going to be in dark clothing and they're going to have weird filigree and whatnot on their clothes that represents other shit. Like, it's
Are you just thinking of Evil Sansa?
That was specifically the reference I was making, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's like a dumb amount of thought outedness. It reminded me, the way they're putting it together, it reminded me of Rome, which I know Mads is watching again.
Mm-hmm.
Great show.
I love Rome.
We could totally do a Rome episode. And we know how that ends.
We do.
I guess history knows how that ends, too.
That is what it's based off of, yes.
Nice.
I got it.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know where we can take this that brings it back to funny.
this was actually very factual.
I think you just figured it out.
Oh, good. Just blither into humor. Yeah, I will say I kind of
like having, it's almost like a badge of honor to me to be like, you know, that one guy that hasn't read the books or seen the TV show.
But
I don't know how long I'm willing to carry that torch for. I still haven't seen Avatar. It's one of those things where it's like, no, I'm not going to watch it because everybody else in the fucking world has seen it, so I have to be that one holdout.
But Avatar is basically trumped up Ferngully, so just watch that and you'll save some time.
Well, regardless, everybody's like, oh, but it's so pretty, but it's so, well, that's great. You go ahead and you know, be pretty over it. I'm not going to watch it.
What's funny is I have the same theory about Avatar, but it's the other one, what is the Airbreaker,
the Windbreaker? The M. Night Shyamalama one?
Not the movie, the cartoon, the one it's based, the cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Apparently,
I heard the cartoon is like 1,000 times better than the movie.
Apparently, the cartoon is one of the most intelligent pieces of fantasy mythos in a cartoon in fucking forever.
Wait, right. Ferngully?
No, not Ferngully. Avatar the Airbender.
The last Airbender.
The last Windbreaker.
Oh, yeah,
and then Shyamalan shit all over it.
Yeah, people apparently. Yeah, Shyamalan took it, and everybody was like, oh, crap. The riff tracks is good.
Yeah, the cute Indian guy from, what is it, John Stewart's the bad guy, and it doesn't make any sense.
I have no
movie.
Idea.
Yeah, the Indian guy.
Which
cute Indian guy? From John Stewart. I don't know his name.
Well, he's in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the actual cartoon. Nicktoons, the cartoon, is apparently amazing.
I thought it was an anime.
It's an American anime or something
weird.
Like that.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact rules. Right now, like, my anime friends that are listening to this are, like, slitting their throats.
Sorry, Ian.
How dare he!
Exactly.
Besmirch the name of a show on Nickelodeon.
Slit my wrists with my Naruto dagger.
Oh, God.
My Yu-Gi-Oh deck. It's gonna be worth money soon.
No, it's not.
So I guess that's that. That's the Game of Thrones episode. Not as comically factual. Rather, not as comical. More factual.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
I mean, for all we know, the show's going to end the way this episode did. Kind of on a... Huh.
Can't stop believe.
It's like how Eddie Izzard likes to end all of his shows with kind of a... kind of a feel to it.
Yeah. Not so much a ha or a ho. More of a hmm.
Well, glad to see my idea went so well. Good job, guys. High five, oh,
there
high
go.
Five.
I'm just kind of pleased that my idea didn't get me laughed off of Skype by Madison, that's all.
No, it was actually surprisingly in line. Cromulent's not a word.
Cromulent's a word. I'm embiggening your vocabulary.
You know, you should have seen my face. It was full of shock and awe when you started talking.
This motherfucker knows what he's talking about.
Not really, but he guesses search. Well. Wait, aren't we supposed to fight? Isn't that what happens on these episodes?
I think she just said, lost episode, round
yeah,
two.
Exactly.
Walt! Abel!
Oh, God.
Same show.
Yeah.
Bikes and...
Sons of Anarchy was way better than Lost.
I agree, but...
That picture I made with The Rock is becoming one of my favorites.
Yes, I think for those of the audience who don't follow either of us on social media, it's become a thing where now Mr. Rob posts, it's just Lost references, although and creates Lost jokes on my threads, and that's fine, I totally love it, I'm not knocking you. And what started the one with The Rock?
Oh, it was because everybody's talking about there's a remake coming of Big Trouble in Little China starring
yes.
The Rock.
Ew.
And... like, everybody's up in arms over it. Oh, my God, this is so terrible. I can't believe this. Da-da-da-da.
It
is
terrible.
Of the guys who's a listener of the show, who's a friend of both of ours, had started a thread, and there were probably about 15, 20 responses to it, and Mr. James Hatton had not yet chimed in. So I threw up a post going, hey, Hatton, I don't know your personal take on the whole Big Trouble in Little China thing, but this isn't the only reboot that The Rock is apparently starring in. And I kind of blue-washed out a picture of The Rock, superimposed him over a picture of the island with the Lost logo on it, and I came up with a Dharma hatch that had the raised eyebrow in the middle, had the numbers, and then underneath it, it said, finally, The Rock has come back. And it, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, this could legitimately be like a DVD cover.
Oh, dude, it's...
For like season 8. It's ridiculous.
Because then I message you, and I was like, the eyebrow and the Dharma logo is the best, to which you got, which, what did you refer to it as?
Oh, it's the people's hatch.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, you gotta show Mads that picture.
I will have a look. It doesn't matter where your baby is.
Oh, Christ.
Jesus.
Can you smell la 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 all the mangoes poop?
Yo, what the black smoke is cooking.
Ah.
I think the proper way to end the Game of Thrones episode is with some Lost references.
Yeah, sure.
What do we got coming up next? What's next on our dossier?
Next on our dossier actually is going to be, the episode that our contest winner Josh did our logo for. We're going to do some unfortunate final movies is going to be, we're going to pencil it in because we know we had to juggle around the whole Game of Thrones episode a while, but, we're shooting for our next episode being unfortunate final movies, movies where one of the principal actors, passed, you know, either just before the movie was released or just after.
The crow.
This is, you know, the final flourishing signature on their life's work resume.
Now, let's not discuss anything further here. Let's save that for the episode. Mads, you probably won't be there, so what, will you read something you want to say about it?
No.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. It'll be a sad, morose little affair.
It already is a sad, morose little affair.
It might be. Some of these movies are pretty terrible.
We do want everybody to keep track, though, and keep watch for the website, because we are going to be talking about our 2-year anniversary that's going to
Woo-hoo!
Be coming up. And that's in, I believe, late July.
July 26th.
Yep, and we will be at Wild Pig Comics once again. We're going to have a panel of people, and we're going to talk special guests to the best of our ability to get them, because Peep's got lives. But we will definitely have seats around so people can come and hang out with us if you want. We'll order some pizza, we'll tell some jokes, and we'll talk about wonderful things thanks to Wild Pig Comics. So please keep and pay attention to the website and the Facebooks and all that so we can get that back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. If you were at the first year live taping, you know how fun it was. Come back out and see us again. If you weren't able to make it to the first year, then you know, do what you can to try to get to the second year because it was a really good time.
We want to at least get people from 2 states. Not just the... Did anybody from Pensy come out?
No, but that's actually a possible plan this year.
Excellent. I want if we get 2 states next year, this year, then if we go by like Fibonacci sequence, we can have like 3 the following and then 5 from there. I don't know why it has to be Fibonacci and not just squares, but we'll go with that.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
Until we have all 1,024 states.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. So with that having said, if you guys have any theories about Lost Foxy.
Wow.
I'm not going to hear the end of that.
Was awesome. We'll fix it in post.
No, we won't.
You are the worst.
If you have any theories on Game of Thrones, tell us what you think. Tell us what... other contemporary television shows and aspects of pop thingies that you like on the board. My mailing list has not been going the last couple weeks just because we've been fucking bombarded with life. That'll be starting back up next week because now I have to tell people about the Game of Thrones episode. And Mr. Rob, you got anything else to say?
No, I think I'm pretty good.
Cool. Mads, do you have anything to say? Don't do that. That just looks bad on the board. Do you have anything you'd like to add in the closing?
This was a lot calmer than I thought it was going to be.
Sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
We're calm people. We've evolved. Like the Starks.
Fuck you.
All right. So, yes.
You know, the show doesn't have a laugh track, so.
Oh, we'll add that in post.
No. Game of Thrones doesn't have a laugh track. So, therefore, It was a little more of a muted episode than what we normally go through on our jocularity.
That is true. It is a real dour show.
Yeah.
The laughs are generally when just Tyrion says something witty or slaps Joffrey. A video you can watch for hours. But
do they have one of those on YouTube? Like a 10-hour Tyrion slaps Joffrey?
I almost guarantee that they do. I know. I'm going to say I know they do.
If not, somebody's working on it as we speak, yes. I'm sure.
So with that in mind, thank you again, Madison.
Yeah, whatever.
I am James Hatton.
Podcast Rob.
We will see you next time.
Later.
Welcome to King's Landing. City of kings and whores where anything can happen.
Yeah, it's quite right.
Do be careful, the ship's about to get real.
Well, I'm the fucking king! Robert Baratheon, and wrathful and nasty. When I drop the fucking hammer, evade like a passage. And give me 3 horse so I can smack that ass again. And build a bigger orphanage to put all my bastards in. My wife's and brother fucked her in a straight up bitch. Who gave me 3 large chips? But a daddy's rich. Why? All this arse lick is making me sick. I think the gods and a boar put a toss through my pancreas.
I just said in my prayers the other day.
Demented, sadistic piece of shit.
You better say that I'm the king or I'll chop off your head. I'll put your genitals in the genital jar and keep in a drawer beside my bed.
Grace?
Yes, give her a gift, hit her in the face. Women are so weak and weary. Bring her back, she has her period. Burn the traitors, crush the north, kill the babies, fuck the poor. I'm so bored with cutting out tongues, but I'm getting a dumb mutilating horse.
Is this yours?
Yes, it is.
Talk about killing, I love that shit. Stabbing, hacking, blowing guts.
Hold on,
I'm about to jizz.
Sadly, I cannot.
No jizz, quite right.
The sorcerer cut off your junk, we know. At least it wasn't your head. Poor Ned Stark. What will the North do?
My jizz is like baking soda.